As we announced, we will be talking about evidences, internal and external evidences of the Word of God. Hopefully, this will be a faith-building lesson as we designed the lesson even this morning for those about 23, 24 that were here this morning. We studied in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3, three very familiar characters. And these lessons that we began with, even looking unto Jesus on Saturday night, and other lessons that we've dealt with the Apostle Paul and his life, other examples in the Word of God that would encourage us to do what we ought to be doing, knowing that we are not the only ones who've suffered, and we haven't, as the Hebrew writer said, suffered like they suffered. We may never do that, but we're striving for the same place. And with all of us being bombarded with evolution and the false teaching that is done today in the world, it is no wonder that people are acting, well, there's some things that animals won't even do that human beings are doing. When you're told you come from the animals, we begin to act like them. And the next few generations, if the world continues, is not going to get any better. We will self-destruct, and we're on a flying start about that. The theory of evolution is widely believed and defended. As I watched some of the Discovery Channel programs about the animals and narrators talking about this animal's been here for billions of years, and it came from another animal that was a little different than from this, and so it has evolved, and you'll hear it. And I remember 30 and 40 years ago, watching cartoons on Saturday morning, evolution was being taught. Even in the cartoons and teaching little ones. And have to be aware of that, mothers and fathers. Sometimes we have children of members of the church that go off to college thinking that their faith is sound. We had a young man that was preaching the gospel just a few years ago, went off to West Virginia University. He never darkens the door. He took some classes. His professors convinced him that there is no God. He's been talked to and prayed for, and it's been some 10 or 12 years since he's darkened the door where God's people meet. It has its effect. Parents, grandparents, do not go to sleep on this issue. A few years ago, somebody wrote in a newspaper article, listen to this, and I want you to listen to the words and how vague they are. A few billion years ago, back when Earth was new. Well, that suggests it has a beginning, doesn't it? People know that we have to have a beginning, but they'll do anything to get rid of our God. Rivers roll down from barren mountains into great dead seas. Rainstorms squalled and lightning flashed. Lava hissed and spewed from giant volcanoes. Nothing lived on that long ago earth, but the oceans were astir with promise. They swirled and simmered with primordial, and I had to look that word up, which means all the elements. The earth swirled and simmered with all the elements that made up this soup that held the raw materials of life. You see, life wasn't here yet, but they were all here on the earth, but just hadn't gotten together just right yet. He continues and he says, somehow, probably, that's convincing, isn't it? Probably in the first billion years of our world's existence, that promise was fulfilled. Promise? This primordial soup floating around here on the earth and no life. A nondescript glob of chemicals crossed some vague and wondrous boundary to become the first living thing. We ought to just close the lesson. I'm convinced right here, aren't you? This is how we got our start. Wow, what an argument. From such unfeeling chemicals, Earth eventually filled with teeming diversity of life. And voila, here we are. From microbes to men. Does that convince you where we came from? This is back what, 30 years ago now? And this was from educated people. And the more you read about them and what they say, I'm going to say this now and probably later, that I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, to be an evolutionist. Do you? To say we came from somehow, probably, maybe, from no life to life. And this is, we have all that we have. I've said before, okay, evolutionist, I'll give you man. I'll give you man. Okay, what about woman? Where did she come from? Okay. Genesis 1:1, this is what we believe in. Those first three words, how about that? That's powerful, isn't it? In the beginning, or four words, in the beginning, God created, that is from nothing, the heaven and the earth. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of the heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Psalm 33 and verse 6. David said, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Rather than this primordial soup that somehow got together, and here we have all the plants and all of the animals, the birds, the flowers, from the microscopic little beings on us, on our bodies, and in the world, to the largest of the animals. By the word of the Lord. Verse 7, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Let me ask you, if I told you that after services tonight, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tell this little remote thing here to stay in the air. And tomorrow night when you come back, I'm going to have it standing in the air all by itself. What's going to happen when I let go of this? It's going to drop. Only God can do what He's doing. And that is our spaceship that we're on is moving exactly as it was when it started. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's the power of God. And I want you to notice a few years ago, some members of the church weren't sure just how long it took God to do this. I wrote the president of Florida College, Collie Caldwell, and he told me God did it within 6 days. And he didn't need that long. I agree with that statement, but there was a teacher there that said, and others there, either that each day was millions of years, or that each day was 6 days, and then there were millions of years between the days. Teaching young people these things. And these young people are going home and teaching this same doctrine. The teacher said, he presented four different examples of creation, and he said he let them choose. 6 days. Is that over anybody's head? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gate, in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. In verse 9, what are the 6 days? Are they 24-hour days? That's what he's talking about, isn't it? And in the same context, in verse 11, For in 6 24-hour days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. 6 days. You understand the first 6 days and what the seventh day was to them. And you understand that in the same context, God didn't change the definition of the words. or the length of the days. In Exodus 31 and verse 17, Moses said, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." One time would have been enough, but God through Moses tells us that he did it in 6 days. We know that from Genesis 1, the entire chapter. And also from what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." You remember what day man was created? The sixth day. If each day was millions and millions of years, or between those 6 days, if there were millions of years, that wasn't in the beginning, was it? That was millions and millions and millions and millions of years from the beginning. If, unless, as Jesus said, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." You can understand that. And that's what we believe and teach. The accuracy of the book of Acts. You know there are critics, and have been since the Bible was completed, trying in every way to unearth, through archaeology, find something that the Bible said that was not true. The Hittites were supposedly to have not been a nation that ever existed. And what did our archaeologist friends dig up a few years ago? They found the Hittite nation. They suggested that there was no governor in Judea named Pilate. What did they unearth? They found where he was. Every time they've denied what the Bible says, archaeology has proven the Bible. So Luke the physician, the historian, mentions 32 countries. He mentions 44 cities. He mentions 9 Mediterranean islands. He alludes to 95 different people, 62 of which are not mentioned by any other New Testament writer. 27 of these are unbelievers, chiefly civil or military officers. Every one of these names, every one of these places, are an opportunity for Luke to be wrong. You go and you look at the original Book of Mormon. Nobody's going to let you see that anymore, because there are thousands of geographical errors and spelling errors and all kinds of errors in that original Book of Mormon that was supposedly to be another testament of God. They're not going to let you see that one. There's enough mistakes in the one that we have even now, but none in the Word of God. The book of Acts will definitely stand the test of his historical examination. It still is. There are people who have spent their lifetime trying to show where the Bible is wrong. We don't have enough time to tell you all of the times that they have said, the Bible missed it here. And lo and behold, not the Bible is wrong, but the man who claimed that it was is wrong. The accuracy of the Bible. You will note that it does not begin with this. Does it? The Bible doesn't begin within a land far, far away. It doesn't use mythical characters. It uses real places and real names. It doesn't talk about Peter Pan and Never Never Land, does it? It gives names and places and dates. And that's what people have looked at to see, aha! No mistake there. No mistake there. External evidences, in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. What you see round about you, we just take it for granted. But the Bible tells us to look at them. The heavens declare the glory of God, don't they? Don't the heavens declare the glory of God? The more you study them, you can't see it all. There were men a few hundred years ago that said there were only a few stars. They thought they could count them. I think one fellow got 800 and some. Another guy said, no, there's 900 and some. Then one guy said, no, I counted 1,000 and some. I was a little bitty boy when I heard that. And so one night I tried to count them. Kept losing count. But that's just with the naked eye. They show his handiwork day unto day, uttereth speech and night unto night, showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Yes, they speak for God. Seeing is believing. The fool hath said, David said, Psalm 14 and verse 1, there is no God. You hear somebody, and I don't care how many degrees he may have hanging on his wall, how smart he may think he is, but God says the man is a fool. And when God calls you a fool, there's no doubt. I may call you a fool and there be some doubt. But when God says the man that saith there is no God is a fool, then there is no doubt. Sam calls this a butterfly, my grandson. The clover leaf, some of us call it. Let me ask you this question. Did this evolve, or is there design? You know, we needed a place to go in all these different directions, and we woke up one morning and there it was. We needed a place to get to Oklahoma City, and a way to get to Oklahoma City, and 35 just appeared. Is that right? You believe that? You're crazy. Please, Mr. Haber, you're crazy. No, that didn't just evolve. There's design. You go talk to the engineers. Just a tad bit of design in that, isn't there? The Milky Way, our galaxy. Let's look at this for a while. The galaxy, which is the home of our solar system, from the sun to Pluto. We are so infinitely small. You know, I think I mentioned the other day, I wanted to get to 6 feet. Didn't quite make it. Think, boy, if I had, I'd have been tall. But in whose sight? In whose sight? I need to know how small I am in God's creation. I think we're going to show you. More recent estimates have given numbers around 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. When I was a little boy, I heard about Milky Way, and I kept looking up. I was looking for a candy bar. But I understood after a while through teaching that it was the Milky Way galaxy. And out on the farm in Kentucky, you can see a whole lot more stars than you can in the big, bright, beautiful city, can't you? You've been there. And so 400 billion stars, 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Well, you say 400 billion, that's a lot of money. 400 billion, that's a lot of stars. And a whole lot of space to put them in. Our solar system is in the exact place in our galaxy. And it has to be. Or it would be pulled apart by gravity. We are in the exact place in the Milky Way galaxy that we have to be to keep existing. Our sun is just the right size and we're just the right distance from it. If we were closer, what would we be? You think it's hot in the summer? If we were farther away? We're just the right. And our earth tilts on its axis, giving us our seasons. And we revolve and we rotate at the right speed. Amazing, isn't it? And our earth's ozone protects us from harmful rays. Let me ask you three questions there. Is this all by chance? All by chance? This primordial soup and here we are? Just the right distance from the sun that life can exist? And how about this? Oxygen that we can breathe? And the more we know about our human bodies, wow, we could go forever, couldn't we? Our Milky Way galaxy, as we continue this line of thought with its 400 billion stars, take you 100,000 light years to get from one end to the other. Now let's look at that a little more in depth. There's our galaxy. Traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years to get across our galaxy. You get that? How big is God's creation? Is 6 feet big? Our galaxy is 588 septillion miles. I'd never seen that number, or even knew how to pronounce it, or even knew that there was a number like that. 580, that sounds like some little kid counting, doesn't it? 588 septillion miles across our galaxy. 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years to get across, as we already mentioned that. 186,000 miles per second times 60 gives you the miles per minute. 11,160,000 miles per minute. We think we're going fast on the expressway? Or you think you're up in an airplane? I'm not sure how fast they go sometimes. But even in the fastest jets, not faster than the speed of light. Muhammad Ali said he could turn out the lights and be in bed and under the covers before it got dark. He said he was that fast. No, nobody's that fast. 11 million miles per minute. Then you take that times 60. 11 million times 60, and that's 1 hour. Then you take that answer times 24, and that's how far you've gone in a day. Then you take that times 365, and that's 1 year. You got a calculator that's going to put these numbers out there for you? Then you times that times 100,000 miles, 100,000. 588 septillion miles. That's how far it is, folks. How big is our galaxy? David said, Psalm 19 and verse 1, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And the word firmament means an endless expanse. And when we were little, we were watching Captain Kirk, and they were going so fast, 6-7 times warp speed, you know. So you don't get anywhere out there doing 70 miles an hour, do you? They know that. They knew that. All by God's design. The home of our solar system, from our sun to Pluto. As we said, the more recent estimates, they keep jumping it up. Didn't used to be that many stars. As we said, in the exact place, exact area where we are to be. Let's go on. We've already done that. The Andromeda Galaxy and its companions. The nearest galaxy to Earth, about 2 million light years away. 186,000 miles per second. 2 million light years away. Think that's not a lot of space out there? But the Milky Way, our galaxy, is small in comparison. The constellation Hercules. When we're looking at it through our powerful telescopes, we see hundreds of blotches, and each of is a galaxy with its 100 million stars that they're just estimating that there are. We now know of 2,500,000 galaxies. Our Milky Way, is just one of 2,500,000 known galaxies. Firmament. And that all of the galaxies, they're all moving. Our galaxy is moving. These 2,500,000 galaxies, they're all moving with their billions and billions and billions and billions and stars. We build our highways by design, and yet we have accidents, don't we? None of these are bumping into each other. Accidents? Again, astronomers estimate over a trillion galaxies. They know of 2 million, but they estimate there's over a trillion, each with billions of stars in it. Isn't this amazing what David said? He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. I've been amazed at farmers that may have 100 cattle or shepherds, hundreds of sheep, and they've named them all. They've named them all. They know them. But what about this? God calls them all by name. And we don't know the half, do we? Our sun, the earth and moon, 247,000 miles apart, could fit inside our sun if the sun had a wall of 100,000 miles thick. We'd bounce around on the inside. Our sun, the earth and the moon, just stay where we are, just get inside the moon. We'd bounce around. even if the wall of the sun was 100,000 miles thick. It's 1,300,000 times larger than the earth. But yet one of the stars in the Orion constellation, it's called Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse, however you want to pronounce it, is 248 times larger than our sun. What if it were our sun? And Antares in the constellation Scorpio is 400 million miles in diameter. You're getting a picture of how big this thing is that God has created and how infinitely small we are. I read some theories of the origin of matter. We know where we came from. But like the primordial soup that we read about on the first charts, other people have thought other ways where we came from. The nebular theory. A huge spinning blob began spinning faster and faster, and chunks began breaking off until we have what we have today. Again, that settles it. Just shut the lights out. Let's go home. Because, you know this can't be true because that makes more sense. No. No, it doesn't. What question doesn't that answer? That question. Where'd the blob come from? Where'd the blob come from? Another theory. The second theory. Planetesimal. An intruder star. This is what they said. I'm not making this up. An intruder star from somewhere else, Never Never Land probably, in our galaxy came near the sun, and as it did, the gravitational forces that were generated produced tidal waves from that intruder star that tore material out of the sun, which became the solar system. You want to go to school and sit at the feet of these people? What question doesn't that answer? Where the intruder star and the sun originate? And how come they are on such definite schedules? You know, when our astronauts, they sent them to the moon, and they're sending these other ships to planets and places. You know, if the moon is here and the earth is here, they don't send that rocket ship where it is now, do they? They send it to where it's going to be. Why? They know. It's done it all the time. Because of design. Design. An afterthought, I just thought about this. Where did the water come? If it came from the sun, is there water on the sun? If we're part of that which came off of the sun. I guess that's something for them to think about because we don't have to worry about it, do we? The third theory. This is the big one now. The Big Bang. Two giant planets collided in space. And I heard a few months ago that there's still waves, sound waves from that Big Bang, still floating out in space. I know that's so because they said it. Again, question. Would the hundreds of billions of pieces all be round, all be the same shape in a collision like that? No. Again, what question doesn't it answer? Where did the two giant planets originate? Imagine how big they had to be to produce all of this that we see. All of the galaxy, the known galaxies, 2,500,000 known galaxies with all their billions of stars, all of that came from the Big Bang. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely falling for these things. Number four out of five. Number four, the ancient astronaut theory. All we see and are is the result of astronauts from other galaxies, you know, the UFOs, or other parts of our galaxy whose creative activity is revealed in us. Again, where the other galaxies and astronauts originated. Last of all, the continuous generation. If the other four didn't convince you, then This will have to. That matter is constantly being generated in the cosmos. The process by which this creation from nothing is taking place is not identified. But somewhere out there, bubbling up, somewhere there just has to be matter constantly being generated. You know, like the mouth of some river, you know, it's bubbling up out of the earth. That's kind of how life is. It's kind of, it's way, just too far for us to go. All of this to deny this. And we're having our children sit at the feet of these geniuses. As we said, they realize there has to be an origin. But it can't be the Word of God. In the beginning, God. Like the missing link, you'd think they would have solved the problem by now. The missing link, still missing. If evolution were true, we'd still be evolving, wouldn't we? There'd be evidence of it. There wouldn't be any doubt. But anything is better than believing in God. But we know where we originated. In the beginning, God. Internal evidences of the Bible. The suspension of the earth. Men have many different ideas about that too, don't they? The Hindus say earth is on the backs of four giant elephants, standing on the back of a giant turtle who was swimming in a sea of milk. See, they first had the earth on the back of these four giant elephants, and somebody said, well, what are they standing on? Oh, well, we got that taken care of. They're on the back of a giant turtle. Well, what's the giant turtle on? Oh, he's swimming in a sea of milk. Okay. What's holding up the sea of milk? You see the totem pole there? Just keep on going. Whatever they answer that, whatever that's a... The Japanese, the earth's on the back of a giant catfish. I don't know. What have we been thinking? You know, all this time we've been believing this and... These were so simple. What were... The Greeks... See these weightlifting places? There's this giant statue of a fellow holding the earth. That's Atlas. Atlas had it on his back. They said the storms came when he swatted at flies. Imagine the size of those flies. On and on we go. Suspension of the earth, God says. Job 26 and verse 7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. How'd they know that? How'd they know that? Just a guess. No, Columbus hadn't even sailed the ocean yet. Find out the earth was round. Hangeth the earth upon nothing. Written 4,000 years ago. Which is correct? Man's view, his guesses, or God's? Bible medicine. Moses was educated in Egypt, but didn't follow their medical practices. We have somebody come from another nation, they follow their medical practices. We have found out over the years how wrong we have been. Did you know Mammoth Cave used to be used as a place to take people with tuberculosis? Worst thing they could have done. That's where they took them. Don't do that anymore. Moses, if he had been writing this on his own, would have written what they taught him. Because that's how he was brought up. They practiced bloodletting. Why? They thought the disease originated in the blood. George Washington died because we were still following this in the 1700s. Remember he got the cold and said, oh, I've got to get that disease out. So they cut him. Bled him to death. Barbers practiced it. Remember the red and white symbol? That's where it came from. How did Moses know not to follow the practices of the Egyptians? Because God said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Leviticus 17:11 and 17:14. Recently discovered that leprosy was spread through the breath. So this is why Moses wrote what he wrote here in Leviticus 13. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. He had to walk around like this, and he had to yell, unclean! Because it spread through this. How did Moses know that? And there's just so much more. So much, much more. The Egyptians said, you crush a donkey's tooth and put honey in it and a few other ingredients and put it on your head to cure baldness. I got to try that. Moses didn't follow their shenanigans, their false teaching. He followed God. And everything that he said, like what we're talking about, everything was right. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, concerning Bible prophecy. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. That's how God felt about false teachers. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Because he's going to die. Jeremiah 28, verse 9, the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. The prophecy concerning the birthplace of Jesus, as we move along quickly here. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. There were two Bethlehems. Bethlehem, Judah, is the place where Micah said he would be born. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know in verse 14 of that same chapter that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was in the beginning with God, just as Micah 5 says, whose goings forth have been from of old, yea, from everlasting. The fulfillment of his place of birth, Matthew 2, 1. How did Micah know the very city? Hundreds of years before the fact. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, just like Micah said, in the days of Herod the king. Where was Jesus just a few days before his birth? In Nazareth, 70 miles away. Why, oh why, did they come to Bethlehem? For the taxation. I'm thinking, if I'm up in heaven and I know that there's Mary and Joseph and the baby, and there's Bethlehem, and Micah said, no expressway, no quick flight from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They made it. In Nazareth he was, but in Bethlehem he was to be born, and in Bethlehem he was born, just like the Bible says. And the prophets, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, verse 4 of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, that is Herod. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Some say this means, behold, a woman shall conceive and bear a son. Man, what a sign that was. A woman's going to have a baby. Man, I'm impressed. A woman's going to, and that's what they say. That's how that should read. A woman, not a virgin, shall conceive and bear a son. The Lord's going to give you a sign that a woman's going to have a baby. That's no sign at all. and shall call his name Emmanuel. Fulfillment of it, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And Isaiah 2 and verse 2 concerning the kingdom. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. All nations. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Did that happen? 700 plus years Isaiah prophesied that it was going to happen before it happened. Did it happen as he said, where he said? Like Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, was he born there? Is the kingdom going to be established in Jerusalem? Did you know the Book of Mormon says that Jesus was born in Jerusalem? And my Mormon friends keep telling me that, Bethlehem was a suburb of Jerusalem. No, it wasn't. It was miles apart, at least 5 miles away. Not a suburb. They weren't attached. Again, they're wrong. The Bible is right. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, just like Isaiah said, and as Joel said, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, all nations shall flow unto it. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all nations. The Bible is so consistent, without error. From Jerusalem it shall start. Thus it is written, Luke 24:46, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What was preached in Jerusalem? Acts 2:38. Just like Jesus said and the prophets said, where it would begin and what would be preached. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Remission of sins was preached in the name of Jesus. Romans 1:18, beginning, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even so his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, the people who deny God are without excuse. They will not be able to stand before him on the day of judgment and say, there wasn't enough evidence. What a lie. Look at the evidence of evolution. This is what we grew up with, what we saw. Here's the modern day evolutionist picture. Like I said at the beginning, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, an evolutionist. To believe that it was dead, lifeless matter over mind that created heaven and earth? Mm-mm. David said, Psalm 147 ended, We are fearfully and wonderfully made. To believe the human body is a matter of evolution? I will praise thee for I, in 139, for I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth very well. And we close with what we began. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. Young people, you're going to be all throughout your life, as all of us are, bombarded with evolution and its teaching. It's not going to get any better because we're falling farther and farther away from God. As we mentioned last night, our nation is trying to get God out of everything. They don't want freedom of religion. They want freedom from religion. Get you away. Put this thing away. Remove God. Don't allow it to happen to you as it did to Josh Loy. Peyton City, and I know in other places. We had another young man in school in the 50s, very brilliant Bible student, went off to college, didn't come back. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. mothers, fathers, ground your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters in the faith, or they will lose their soul. The devil's trying to make sure of that. Like Luke 8 and verse 11 said, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Don't let it happen. A lesson designed to create faith in us, to know that this is true, that God's word is without error. It wasn't written by men after these things happened. It was written hundreds of years before it happened. All of the 300 plus prophecies concerning Jesus and all the prophets prophesied, they all came true. That's why Jesus could say, it is finished. It is complete. Thank you for listening so well tonight. As we conclude our lesson tonight, we again extend the invitation of the Lord to anyone who may be here tonight who wants to join in the army and the family of God, to believe that in the beginning God created, and in the beginning God will send His Son. Acts 17, 30 and 31 commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day and a man that is going to judge us in that day. And when that day comes, this earth is going to be on fire. We're going to leave this earth. The saved, the dead in Christ shall rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 beginning. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is true. Evolution is false. Cling to this word until you die, and then live with the God that loved you so. If you need to respond tonight, won't you do it now while we stand, while we sing?